Second set. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hey,
we were just trying to think of an alliterative nickname for you.
Is it a good thing?
Well, I ruled out connoisseur.
Because of your chicken and waffle. I'd like to call it a fetish. But your chicken and waffle liking. That was Eleanor, not me. No, it wasn't me.
I'd say Courtney the considerate. Courtney the considered.
Don't try and make it up for now. Now you've said she's not a connoisseur. See, she's putting her headphones on early.
I'm a bit worried now.
What you've done is Goff slams it into the forehand of Svantec. Svantec whips the forehand but nets and it's 15-all. Hello.
Hi guys. Hi ladies.
Hi.
How are we doing this morning? Just needle me. This is the choice. That's fair.
It's afternoon.
I think you need to think of it as something of a vocation for us.
Well, yeah.
You're very good at it. Why us? I haven't done anything.
You do it all. When you don't know you're doing it.
Can we just talk about pizzas and our love?
See, there it is.
I had a pizza last night.
Is it good?
It's good.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, I haven't had one yet.
I have not.
Had 2-for-1 at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie, regret the decision of not placing that order.
I've thought about that every night I've walked back late. I've thought about finding that place.
2-for-1. Two for one.
Oh. 30-15, second game.
I'm still full from the pizza I had.
So jealous. Wow.
I did eat an absurd amount of food last night. I'm not feeling all that great today.
At a restaurant?
At a very good restaurant.
Where'd you go?
It was a restaurant on the corner near my hotel.
French restaurant?
Yeah.
Squash shot from Goff at 30-50. Svantec inside the baseline, goes off forehand, backhand, cross court. It's in a cross court from Svantec, very deep and on the line from Goff. Goff comes in on the short ball, goes backhand, back behind Svantec. Wonderfully constructed a 1 point for game points. Good food?
Delicious. Yeah, had a bit of smoked salmon as a starter.
I thought you didn't do starters.
I didn't do what?
I think you don't do starters.
I don't always, but I was like I said, I was really, really hungry. Okay. So I had that. What did I have for my meal? I had an omelet, a lovely cheese and mushroom omelet. Then for whatever reason, I also ordered sardines from the tin, which I actually really love here in France. They're really delicious.
On your omelet?
I love anchovies. Have you had anchovies and toast?
Delicious. So good. So salty and delicious. And then I had a dessert. It was at least 3 more things that I would normally order from a meal.
Sounds like Marcus's usual 4-course lunch.
Ace from Goff for 15 for 1-all. What were your desserts?
I got the Café Gourmand, which we weren't sure what it was, but it's basically a double shot of espresso with 3 small desserts. I had a little pot of rice pudding and a little chocolate mousse, which was way too rich for me, and a little coffee ice cream, glacé.
Nice. Rice pudding is horrible.
Got back to the hotel and passed out until about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Because you were in a food coma.
Yeah,
Courtney walked
on top of my covers.
And said good morning.
Yeah.
Because you're still in the food coma.
Absolutely.
Was that your breakfast?
That was, I wish. I mean, well, you know, if you time shift a little, maybe.
We're going to seamlessly transition out through this game to hand over to Simon and Courtney. If you see nicknames for members of the teams come through, as Svantec goes backhand, double handed cross court, the backhand up the line from Goff, cross court forehand goes Svantec first point, third game. Svantec with the first set. Svantec runs around the backhand and nets. It's because someone has been suggesting on email nicknames, nice nicknames for the teams. Already have one, Simon. We're trying to think of one for Courtney.
Simon the storyteller, because apparently you wrote a book.
Have you?
I wish you'd mentioned
it.
You might have bought it up.
We've got a couple of hours now we can
sure. You enjoy this, Courtney.
Marcus the Martian. When Gigi says, you know, very polite, that one not so much.
Depends if you like Martians.
I just thought you were going to say it depends if you like Marcus.
I thought she was going as well.
I thought this was going to be something to do with penguins. Penguins, we're talking about pigeons.
Long from Svantec, it's
penguins.
People. See, this is what happens when there's 4 of us. It's Love 30. Simon and Courtney are going to take you through this game, the rest of this match, and possibly into the next one. Enjoy.
Thank you, Gigi. Thanks, Eleanor. Yeah, getting pretty interesting. Interesting first set, really.
It was.
I think a lot of people half expected Iga to do what Iga normally does and romp through sets. But Coco Gauff has been playing some good tennis today, especially.
Smart tennis.
Yeah. What's she done so smart to keep her close? As she returns at Love 30 at 1-all, Świątek slightly off balance, backhand cross court from Goff has Świątek racing cross. She is so fast, is Iga Świątek. Here she comes into the net to pick up a drop shot. Oh my word. Coco Goff had, all she had to do was just push the ball down the line. She then somehow managed to miss it. It ended up being about 8 feet long at the end.
Yeah, we were just talking about Coco Gauff playing a very smart match so far. Has to change things up given their head-to-head, 0-6.
Yeah.
Hadn't taken a set off Iga yet in her career, but she's playing a lot of high balls, mixing it up quite well there. Great drop shot to draw Iga in, set up the point perfectly, just
mishit
that final ball.
Lizzie is going for Count Courtney and Countess Courtney. I like it. Świątek serving at 15-30. High forehand again from Goff, trying to get that ball up above the shoulders of Iga Świątek, who is hammering the ball from our far end as we look at the ball. Then she tries to flatten it out cross court and finds the net, and it's 2 break points. This has gone for Courtney the colloquial.
Oh my, that actually works for me.
Yeah.
I think I bring that energy.
Yeah,
I bring the energy of the people as the people get louder and louder here, willing on Coco Gauff to get this break of serve. She did break Iga Świątek in the opening set once to keep that set tighter than it was looking like it was going to be.
Not going to read house cleaner's suggestion for me.
Oh dear.
Thanks. Simple Simon. I knew it would come. Break point. Gauff. Big forehand return, but it's too big and it's a little wild. And it goes wide. Chris the Professor. Stefan King Tech. I think he'd like that.
Just
he's not
King
in the room
Stefan, really. I think that works.
Gigi the Salomon Queen. I think she should be called the Pineapple Queen. That's what she's been eating all
she
week.
She does like to crush the delicious pineapple from the media bar.
Break point still. Coco Gauff, 30-40 on the Świątek serve. Świątek serves to the forehand, or towards the forehand of Gauff, but it's too long. Świątek dressed in her Wimbledon kit, all in white. White cap, I think, is surgically stuck to her head. And she serves. Second serve again to the forehand of Gauff, who pummels it, but it's too big. Straight down the middle of the court, but it was about a foot long, and she just stands staring at the ball for a moment. Big opportunity. The second serve is sitting up to be hit.
Not a bad play. Again, these are smart plays. She can't get into the rallies with Iga Świątek and let Świątek go forehand to forehand and break her forehand down. Getting those looks at those serves to really rip, those are smart. Execution didn't work out, but I like the intent.
Yep. She knows what she's trying to do. Backhand return straight down the middle. Pushes Świątek backwards. Backhand cross court's even better from Gauff. But the defense is good from Świątek, as it so often is. Then she's on top of a backhand, trying to attack it. High forehand from Gauff that Świątek struggles to connect with properly. Drop shot from Gauff is good. Świątek's going to get there this time. Oh, word. Gauff almost knocks her over. Hit the drive volley straight at Świątek, who was sort of ducking out of the way as she came forward. Ended up having a lot of clay down one side of her shirt. She waved to Gauff and said, you know, no worries, no problem. But that was a good play from Gauff.
It was a very good play from Coco Gauff. And glad that this crowd isn't taking it out on her, because Iga Świątek just kind of caught with the ball that she did put back. Did it clip her at all?
I think
did it go right through her?
It hit something. It might have hit a racket. And then she sort of fell down afterwards. Hit her leg and knocked her down.
But totally fair play. No problem with that. And no issues between the players, as Iga says, I'm fine.
Remarkable lack of booing for that.
Yeah. I'm stunned, really. That's much, the biggest normally. Upset so far of the match.
Big forehand inside out from Świątek, but a nice backhand straight up to the corner of the court from Gauff. She comes forward, but she overhits the slice backhand. Trying to keep the ball deep so she didn't get past, and just overdid it. So the wind is behind her.
And again with Coco Gauff, what's really nice about the way that she is playing this match, she is not letting Iga Świątek dictate. She's trying her best to take control of points. The intent is right, execution a little off at times, but that is how she has to do it, because if they are stuck at baseline, the way most of us thought we would be, this would be a 2-3 win for Iga fairly quickly.
Yeah. Interesting to get your thoughts on, you know, she plays a lot of doubles, Coco Gauff.
She does.
Know, she's comfortable in the forecourt, and that helps with this kind of game plan. Second serve from Gauff at Deuce, from Świątek at Deuce. Serves to the forehand of Gauff, who puts it in the net. Again, going after
Avantage
it.
Świątek.
The great thing about playing this kind of attacking intent, it means that there are no doubts.
Yes.
You just go after the ball.
She was well inside the baseline there on that return, Coco Gauff, and she's going for it. She's going for that forehand return.
Świątek now has a game point. Very deliberate service motion. And she serves out wide to Gauff, who sticks out a racket, gets the ball back, but Świątek's going to put it away, is she? Well, yeah, just about, because Gauff gets a racket on it, but it goes wide, and Świątek punches Świątek the air. Pretty important hold in the context of this match, as she moves ahead 2-1 in the second set, having won the first 6-4. Melissa, thank you very much. Stupendous, Simon, she says.
Oh, Melissa.
It's nice of you.
Can't play favorites now. I wonder a little bit if all this nickname discussion is coming out of, because I was literally having this discussion this morning with a few friends about a man that you just wrote about, Carlitos.
Yeah.
And that Carlos Alcaraz requests and prefers for people to call him Carlitos, in the same way that Coco Gauff, whose proper name is Corey, asks people to call her Coco. I can't bring myself to call him Carlitos. And there's quite a few journalists.
I feel too old.
And I don't know you. No. We're not friends. We're not family. I feel like... So there's that aspect of it. The second thing is also, I feel like nicknames need to be shorter than your actual name. It's actually not easier for me to call you Carlitos. Charlie, I can understand. I understand the Charlie thing. It still doesn't come naturally to me, but I can understand that.
Carlos Moya was Charlie, a little.
Exactly, right?
So to his friends. I mean, proper friends. You know.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, you can't have a nickname longer than the actual name. That's just stupid.
That doesn't work for me. It does not work.
And I completely agree. I'll never call him Carlitos. And I imagine in a couple of years' time, he'll be Carlos.
Correct. When does he turn 21? Are you no longer an Itos?
He's coming of age and he drops his longer moniker. Yeah, it's an odd one. He does like Carlitos, which is... interesting.
It's a useful name.
But then I heard that his coach, who gave a press conference today, Juan Carlos Ferreros, earlier, he refers to him as Carlos. Maybe not to his face, but at least in the press conference, he refers to him as Carlos. So
that's true, yeah.
It's just not clear. So I can't promise that these nicknames are going to stick, guys, that you're sending in.
Do you think that's like a respect thing? You know, it's slightly father figure. Yeah, he's not going to call him by his friendly name. He's not his... Well, he is his friend, but he's not... That's not all he is.
Yeah, I think there has to be something in that. It's like Yelena Ostapenko. She prefers to go by Alona.
Yeah.
I still can't do it. Yeah. It's very difficult for me. I still call her Yelena because that is your name officially. So
what about Kenin? Because that confuses the
Yeah. I call her Sophia.
Me too.
It's very hard for me to call her Sonia. Yeah. Maybe I'm just too prop. Maybe we're just old people who just can't. We just can't do it.
Well, hang on a minute. Courtney's not old.
I'm
not old either.
We just had a whole Gen X conversation yesterday.
A lot of people. Yeah. I'm only 50. Yeah, that's young, isn't it?
It's young.
50 years young. As my son said, you're over halfway of your life.
Oh, Leo. He's so savage.
Probably. Yeah, he's quite savage towards me sometimes.
Well, he's half Dutch.
Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. The Dutch bit comes out in these conversations. Gauff making a very good fist of this service game. 40 love, very quickly to 40 love. Good serves. First serves, followed with a huge ace. 170 kilometres an hour. It's part of the game that she has improved so much in the last year. Really? I mean, she got to the final here last year and her serve is way better.
Yeah, and she said before this match she wanted to play Iga. She's been looking forward to this match ever since that match right here on Court Philippe Chatrier 12 months ago. And, you know, kind of that adage of if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I want to get another run at it. And, you know, you love that attitude from somebody who, again, is 0-6, 0-12 on sets, now 0-13 on sets against Świątek. But she wants to keep going. They are, despite their 3-year age gap, junior, colleagues, not compatriots. Yeah. What am I trying to say?
Colleagues,
yeah.
Junior, rivals,
I suppose, yeah. Coco Gauff winning junior Roland Garros. And then a few weeks later, Iga Świątek winning Junior Wimbledon.
That's right. Big kick serve from Świątek to start the fifth game. Goff at full stretch, hacks it back on the forehand. Świątek should put it away, she doesn't. Goff is there with the pass attempt down the line, she makes it. She's so quick, isn't she, across the baseline, Coco Goff. You've got to put a decent volley away, and the volley from Świątek didn't quite have the depth.
Yeah, she's able to just cover the court in two strides with the way that she kind of runs and sprints. Not good enough. Iga Świątek still not entirely comfortable in the forecourt. She's working on it, and which is what you like to see. She wants to round out that part of her game.
God help the rest of the field if she does. That's an area of her game that's not quite as natural as the rest of it.
And it's an interesting thing with Świątek, because of her adoration of Rafael Nadal and because of her success here at Roland Garros, we often think of her as a Rafa Nadal type player, but actually she's more of a Novak Djokovic in the way that she plays her game. And it's kind of a similar pattern in terms of rounding out that serve, you know, making the second serve less attackable, learning how to play in the forecourt.
Goff thumps a return. Świątek does really well to hold on to it. The lob from Goff is going long. Again, the volley from Świątek wasn't clinical. It was decent, though. It was long. It was deep enough. But the lob was tough for Goff to make, and she misses it. She just rehearses the swing a little bit. Iga Świątek doing her best Agnieszka Radwańska impression. I saw Radwańska the other day. She looks fantastic. Yeah. She looks like she could be playing right now.
100%.
And she told me that somebody told me that she's very good at paddle.
Yes, that's what I've been told by the Polish press, is that she's unreal on the paddle court.
She's livid. I mean, she's obviously delighted to be here at Roland Garros playing in the Legends event, but she was pretty annoyed that the Polish paddle championships was also this weekend.
Oh, was it? Oh.
So she had to miss that.
I heard Jerzy Janowicz is now playing paddle for Poland and wants to represent Poland in some sort of paddle international paddle competition.
I find that very interesting. He's not the kind of player I think would be good at paddle. You know, it's not hands, it's not angles, it's none of that. Good serve from Świątek, good kick serve. Just kicks it out of the hitting zone of Coco Gauff, and it's 40-15. Sun disappears behind a cloud. It's a little bit more humid today. It's warmer. The press seats where down below us have been constantly in a northerly wind all week and have been freezing cold. But today was much more pleasant. Forehand goes wide from Goff, and Świątek strides towards the net, and she leads 3-2. It's interesting you say that, you know, her game is more like Novak Djokovic. It is, isn't it? She's probably more aggressive. I mean, in terms of just the way she tries to absolutely hit the cover off the ball.
Yep.
With Novak, maybe, as Stefanos Tsitsipas described him last night, is a player who is about control, precision and control. He just wants to control you and the court.
In whatever way he chooses to do it. Exactly. No, that's so true. That's so true.
Very aggressive.
She's very aggressive, and the way that she kind of leans into that forehand and the way she hits it, I can obviously understand the Nadal-esque parallels in terms of the intention of what she's trying to do there with that shot. But you know, the way that she hits that open stance two-handed backhand, the way that she can defend from that side, and just the way that she imposes herself is and how her game is developing. You know, we still forget she just turned 22 years old. That's kind of crazy what she's already able to do, and yet still has that hunger of, there are so many aspects of my game that I can still improve. The return of serve has become much more aggressive this year, which has been very, very smart. The serve, as you and I have both mentioned, it's players still in the locker room think that it's attackable, and yet she's constantly very high in the service game's 1% list on the tour. So she defends it very well. Yeah. And that second serve, she mixes up incredibly well, so it's not beating you with speed necessarily, but players are having a hard time getting a read on it, and it's kicked.
The kick is definitely
impressive.
Yeah.
She's improving parts of her game all the time. I mean, Nadal, having grown up on clay and stuff, he was very used to coming to the net and just putting those little volleys away, short volleys.
S'il vous plaît, merci.
I think that if Iga Świątek can add that to her game, that will take her up another level.
100%. I mean, she gets good contact, but it's knowing where to direct the ball. It's just the chess of being at the net. Hit this shot, you're going to get this shot back. Or if you angle it here, you won't get a ball back. Or, you know, go to the backhand, go to the forehand, things like that. That's where she's a little bit lacking.
Players just waiting a moment as some people down near the side of the court take their seats. Goff serving at 2-3. backhand return from Świątek. Pretty aggressive, but good backhand from Goff, who tries to play a half volley off an awkward pass from Świątek, and that was a tough shot to play, and she finds the net with it.
0-15.
The big question is, Courtney, did you have a nickname at school? Do you have nicknames?
At school, I did not. When I was in my previous job, my office mates did call me C-Note.
Yep.
Which became transferred over to the tennis world when I started blogging, but which they said it was C-Note, C-N, because I was money.
Oh, that's
which,
nice.
You know, that was very complimentary of them. They were all liars because we were all lawyers, so that's clear. But that's probably the only one that's ever stuck. Otherwise, most people just say CN.
Yeah.
Court.
At least it's short.
Yep. It's easy.
That's good. It's love 30. That was a double fault from Goff. Is that our first double fault of the match?
It was.
I think it popped up as the first one. And not the best time to do it. She's
it
put
was
herself
her first, yeah.
under pressure. Early in this service game at love 30. Serves to the forehand of Świątek, who gets good depth with her return. Then she plays a little spinny slice that goes sideways, but that's a good topspin lob from Goff. Świątek, great athleticism to reach the backhand, high backhand volley, but it drops short and Goff hammers it down the line. That was a point. He had a lot of different types of shot in that rally.
It's a frustrating point for Iga Świątek because she never got the reward for what was an incredible return that looked like it might have been going out, clicks the backside of the baseline, but earns a short ball that catches her off guard.
Goff, that was for her first double fault before Świątek hasn't hit one, so this is high quality serving from both as Goff connects with the ball slightly late and sends it into the tram lines on the backhand side. And having threatened to break Iga Świątek early in this set, now she's got two break points of her own to face.
David writes in, hello from Tustin, California. I attended Indian Wells this year for the first time, which was wonderful. Stadium was half empty for both doubles finals. Does this happen at the majors also? Not really. It's usually all right.
It depends when they're staged. I mean, the slams vary when the mixed doubles final is tomorrow,
That's
for example.
Correct. Yeah.
12 o'clock.
Should be a good one.
Yeah, should be a very good one. It could be. There's good stories all around in there. It's Goff serves, second serve. It's pretty short. Świątek right on top of the forehand. Goff hooks the forehand. It's short again, and Świątek is banging these ground strokes from the back. But that's a better flattened out forehand from Goff, who comes forward. Short slice. Świątek can only lob it. Goff, it's over her head. Can she chase back? No. It's the break. She got back to the ball just about, but it was a little bit of a sort of, not a brain freeze, but there was just a split second where she wasn't sure what to do. She tried to chase the lob down. She's put the forehand Świątek in the net, and Świątek has the break 4-2 in this second set.
Yeah, Coco Gauff caught, absolutely caught there. Thought for a split second, I think, that she was going to try the leaping overhead. Realized that she was not in a position to do that. And that pretty much spelled her doom in that break point. So, a break lead here for Iga Świątek. She had the break lead in the opening set as well, and Coco Gauff was able to peg her back.
Crucial game. Absolutely crucial game for Coco Gauff here. Świątek holds. You know, you'd put your house on her finishing it off, but get the break back. As the sun is in Świątek's eyes a little. She just rehearses the ball toss. 4-2. Serve. Ooh, to the body of Gauff. Would have been a very good serve, but it just caught the tape.
She's really learned how to use that body serve, first serve, a lot better this season, Iga Świątek.
And something Ash Barty used really well.
Yeah. I mean, every player should just watch just loops of the Barty serve and her service patterns.
First serve hits the tape this again and goes wide this time. Yeah, very such a smart server. Really underrated part of her game, I think.
Like a cricket bowler, knowing which pitches to pitch.
Is it deliveries
more
to ball?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's the cricket language. I was using baseball language, but then I tried to say cricket because she plays cricket. It didn't work. It didn't work, guys.
She does play cricket, and not surprisingly, she plays it well. She plays everything well.
It's very frustrating, actually.
She must be rubbish at something. Probably not.
Don't
maybe
think
cooking.
So. Maybe.
Probably good at that as well.
Yeah, probably.
Good forehand return from Goff to start this game. She hits a winner. It's love 15. Świątek again going for the body serve. Quite a bit long, so she's going to have to reload and go again. slow, deliberate motion. Serves. Second serve to the forehand of Goff, who's on top of it. And Świątek almost pushed backwards by the power of the return from Goff, but the rally goes on as Świątek works her way back into the point with a deep backhand to the backhand of Goff. Then goes to the forehand, and Goff was leaning the other way. Pretty much wrong-footed in the end.
Gaza.
Steven says, how about Courtney the Creator or Courtney the California?
There you go.
Love the commentary on my way to work, Steven from Toronto. Thanks, Steven. Yeah, I never had a nickname at school. Not really. And then a little bit later, people always shortened my surname, just Cambers to Cambo, which I never liked.
Fair.
But it's fine. Got used to it after a while.
I got very used to calling people by their last names. I was never in the military or anything, but it became very easy for me. People don't do it to me. Not surprisingly, doesn't roll off the tongue for most, but yeah, I tend to refer to people by their last names.
Second serve, hammered by Goff again. Świątek just on her haunches. Goff threatens to play the drop shot, fakes it, plays the slice, but it goes long. And she puts her hand to her face. Not a bad idea. Again, a lot of good ideas in this match. Yeah. Just not the defense good from Świątek and maybe the execution lacking.
And she saw Iga Świątek begin to make her sprint towards the net and decided at the last minute, instead of going drop shot, to try and hit that, push that forehand deep. Made a little bit of a mess of it. But you're right, Simon. There's so much to build on, not just for this matchup against Świątek, but in all of her matches, to kind of see that this works. It will work.
I mean, who wouldn't want to finish the rally earlier?
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd want to be off court in 45 minutes.
Well, and she has said that she's relied her entire young career on her legs.
Yeah.
And it's now time to kind of find that extra level. And that's what it is taking control in the way that you can see Iga Świątek, Aryna Sabalenka, Elena Rybakina, even Ons Jabeur, Caroline Garcia, all those players at the top of the game, they take control and they dictate.
It's a much better mindset to have because you just don't doubt yourself if you're going for it all the time. Świątek hits an ace, but it actually bounced over Goff's racket. And now she goes out wide. Good return on the forehand side from Goff, who comes forward off her backhand, but she puts it in the net. It was short. It was awkward. She was trying to force it, but she couldn't get it over the net. And it's 5-2. Świątek, and just a game away now from a place in the semi-finals once more. She's hit a lot of good shots and not got the reward for them.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, if you are Coco Gauff's coach, if you're, you know, Corey Goff, you show her this and say, against 90% of the field, maybe 95% of the field, that forehand return that you just hit, it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Or it's a short ball.
Exactly.
It's just that it's this player who feeds on that, who knows how to absorb pace, who has the racket head speed to take it through and strength in her lower body to absorb and redirect and put you into trouble, but don't go away from it just because it didn't work against Iga.
And that comes back to people's, we used to talk about with Roger Federer, why is he not serving volley anymore? And he used, because he hated being passed.
Yeah.
He absolutely loathed it. And he had to, true serving volleyers understand, they go through years of development where you get passed all the time. But when you get good at it, you realize the pressure it creates. And what you're living for is 4-all, 30-all, 30-40. Put the pressure on them, ask them to make that pass under pressure, under scoreboard pressure again and again. And the chances are they won't. You're doing the right thing. You've just got to stick with it.
That's what's interesting. Like Caroline Garcia kind of was discussing a little bit. Obviously, had to bow out in the second or third round here. Tough loss. And she's going through a little bit of a time where that... She said, if I needed any more evidence that the way that I played last year is the way I need to play, how could I possibly need more evidence given what I accomplished last year? But I'm still finding myself not committing, and I know I have to do it. And it's so hard. It's so hard. But when she is as close as we're going to get on our side of on the women's game of that kind of all-out aggressive blitz package type of game, and even she is struggling with finding the confidence to be able to execute it.
Yeah, because players don't like missing.
No.
Goff serving at 2-5 to stay in this match. Good return from Świątek. Has Goff moving backwards on the forehand side. She lifts the forehand with a bit more height to the forehand of Świątek, but it sits up in the midcourt and it gets hammered. Gets punished.
And to give you a sense of, I think I may have mentioned this on air with you before, Simon, but Iga Swiatek's mindset when we were talking to her about Caroline Garcia's return position. She said, I don't understand why she just doesn't take a step back. And we're like, well, no, but Caroline, that's how she plays. She plays percentage tennis. And Iga's like, yeah, but you missed 20 returns. And she just could not get her mind around it.
It is interesting. Goff coming forward off a backhand approach. Nice forehand volley to the corner, but Swiatek's there in a flash. And it felt like she had hours to roll that ball cross court for the winner. She is so quick.
So quick, and again, because of her ability to get her racket through the zone so quickly, she can hold that ball until the very last minute and saw Coco just start to commit to the forehand side and to the cross court.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the volley. Just maybe moved a fraction too early, but still a very nice pass. It's love 30, 2 points away for Swiatek. Serve out wide to the forehand of Swiatek, which is slightly mishit into the tram line. It's a good serve from Goff. Yeah, Ariel says, I appreciate the commentary, but why not call players by the name they want to be called? If it's part of his identity to be Carlitos, why deny him that by insisting on calling him something else? The thing is that he's not insisting on being called Carlitos.
It's like a friendly, you can just call me Carlitos.
Yeah, that's
you know, and it's like, well, okay.
If he says that to you, then you would, wouldn't you?
But,
I think I'd probably just not say his name.
Same. I'll be honest.
15-30, Goff serving. Oh, it's a double fault. Just her second of the match. Slightly mishit. And it's given Iga Swiatek, the world number one and the two-time champion, defending champion here, 2 match points. This is what it's like playing Swiatek. It's cruel, isn't it? She's played well, Coco Gauff.
And
it's 6-4, 5-2, 15-40. But as you said, she's got to take the positives. She's still out there. It's not over yet.
Merci.
Goff serves. Again goes out wide. Swiatek hammers it forehand into the net from Goff, and it's over. It's done. Iga Swiatek pumps the air, punches the air several times as she walks towards the net to shake hands with Coco Gauff. A nice handshake between the two. A lot of respect there, but it is the world number one who marches on her inexorable way, it seems, towards another Roland Garros title. Very, very much the woman to beat, as she puts her hand to her ear to see who wants the ball that she's got in her hand. And then she plays it up into the stand, but she is looking very, very sharp here at Roland Garros once more, chasing a third title, and who's to say she's not going to be lifting the trophy come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, this is perfect run to the semifinals for Iga Swiatek.
Je vais l'accompagner Coco Gauff.
Applauds as Coco Gauff walks off the court. If you were to tell Coco Gauff at the start of the tournament, given where her confidence levels were going into what was effectively a defense of the final, and you were to tell her, you'll make the quarterfinals, she would have taken that, 100%. Yeah. But we know these players, Ons Jabeur, you told her that, she would have taken it too, but she's disappointed. Coco Gauff is going to be disappointed after that, but so much to like about the way she approached this match.
Yeah.
Really erased kind of a little bit of the egg that she kind of laid in the final last year, and showed that hopefully to herself that she can play this way.
Yeah.
And she just has to get more comfortable with it, more comfortable with it.
Let's hope the team back her up. Let's hope they say that to her coach and her parents, say she's on the right track. It's not to be for her this year. It is indeed Iga Swiatek who's through to the semi-finals. And in a moment, we will hear from Iga. She is just getting herself ready to speak to Marion Bartoli, who acknowledges the cheers from the crowd when her name was read out 10 years since Marion won Wimbledon this year. Let's hear from Iga Swiatek.
Iga. Once again, huge congratulations to you. You played a very solid match today. It was not easy. Coco was playing extremely well, but you really tied up your game when you needed to. How was overall your feeling on the court today?
Well, for sure, it wasn't easy, you know. Especially first set was really tight, and Coco was really using the conditions here, so I'm pretty happy that I was able to kind of work on it and just win this match because, yeah, quarterfinals are sometimes, you know, the toughest matches, but we'll see what's going to happen if further in the tournament. But for sure, Coco, you know, she's already been in that place, so even though she's young, she's experienced, and I'm pretty happy to be in a semifinal.
as you said, Coco was playing really well. She was playing very aggressive. She tried to come a lot to the net today. It was windy. It's not sometimes easy to hit a lot of passing shots. How did you adjust to that?
I guess, you know, passing shots, you're kind of never going to play them perfectly, but it's all about instincts, I guess. You have to kind of guess where your opponent is going to be. But, well, yeah, for sure, you know, she's pretty tall, so she can reach a lot of balls. But I just tried to be solid, you know, and remember that even though she's going to catch it, I can run to the next one. So I wanted really to play without pressure and just go for it.
Iga, you have an incredible record here at Roland Garros. You won already the title twice. You're once again in the semi-final, but this time you won't have a day off. You have to play the semi-final tomorrow against Beatrice. How would you prepare for that one? Is it a different preparation or you just same with the same routine?
Oh, no, like the same, you know. We play many tournaments during the year where we have to play day by day, but I'm pretty fresh because, you know, as you saw in previous matches, I didn't really spend too much time on court, so I'm actually happy that today was a tighter match and I'll be ready no matter what. And, you know, not having a day off was something that I knew since the beginning of the tournament, so I'm kind of ready for this situation.
You have gained so many fans year after year here. You can see once again today the center court, all the flags from your country. I'm sure you have a little word to say to this crowd as well.
Thank you guys for coming. I really enjoy playing in Paris. I'll work on, you know, throwing balls to you because I think the stairways caught it instead of any of you guys. But thank you for coming and hopefully see you tomorrow.
Alors, we see you tomorrow on the court. Mesdames et messieurs, merci une fois encore d'applaudir Iga Świątek, qualifiée pour les demi-finales de Roland Garros.
I sometimes think Iga Świątek has more trouble not breathing while she's talking than she does on the court.
You can hear when her voice starts to get a little wobbly. You can it's the adrenaline of everything. Kind of, she's trying to just get air in and settle down a little bit. So the on-court interviews are a little bit of an adventure with Iga Świątek. But luckily for her, when she's in the match and between the lines, it's absolute perfection. And she'll now ready to face Beatriz Haddad-Maia, who's probably a surprise semifinalist in all ways, but making history for Brazil. First Brazilian woman back here since... or I guess in the open era at all here at Roland Garros, which is great. But it'll be an instance where Iga Świątek will be looking for revenge, rarely having lost to Beatriz Haddad-Maia just last year in the summer in Toronto. Tough physical three-set match. She didn't play well there at all, Iga Świątek. It was right at the beginning of the U.S. hardcourt series when she was having issues with the balls and just everything, and she had just lost at Wimbledon and feeling kind of the hangover from the streak. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out on clay.
It will. Very interesting to see Beatriz Haddad-Maia get past Ons Jabeur. We were both in the Ons Jabeur press conference earlier, and it was good to see Jabeur pretty upbeat, I thought.
I think so.
Not distraught, as she can be sometimes after a difficult loss, but... You know, I thought she was going to win today, but she clearly didn't have that much left in the tank.
Yeah, that explained a lot, especially in that third set. You know, she had those two break points late in the second set and maybe played those definitely too passively and then played pretty passively to finish out that second set. And then from there, didn't seem to be able to match the physical intensity that Beatriz Haddad-Maia, who, to all credit to her, as Ons Jabeur said, is a beast.
You know, because physical beast.
What is that, the fourth straight three-setter she's come through? She had to recover from a near four-hour match against Sara Srivastava in the previous round. So I wouldn't think that turning around to play Iga Świątek 24 hours later is going to be a physical issue for Haddad-Maia. So here's hoping that it becomes just about the tennis tomorrow and who can solve the puzzle better.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how she approaches the match, how she can handle the occasion, but also handle Iga Świątek and whether Iga knocks her off the court or whether it becomes a real battle. Left-hander, of course, Haddad-Maia got plenty of skills. Likes to come forward. Could be a very interesting semi-final. And we said they have to come back tomorrow. It is quick. It is a quick turnaround. They've been used to having the day off, so it's a change in routine. So you never know. Something, you know, it can break. Some players love that routine so much that if you do break it, it can cause issues.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for Iga Świątek, like she said, so many tournaments, obviously on the tour, both ATP and WTA, you play back-to-back-to-back-to-back days.
Yeah.
So that's not rare, but given the change in calendar this year with the 2-week Madrid and 2-week Rome, it actually has been a while, maybe since Stuttgart for Świątek, there where she's actually had to play back-to-back matches. Maybe one, maybe one of Madrid or Rome, she did have to go back-to-back when the schedule kind of snapped back in place. But it's a little bit different, a little change of things. But like she said, you know, today was a tighter match. I was on court for a little bit longer. It was still 6-4, 6-2. So in relative to her form over the course of the first four matches, yes. But she has not spent too much time out on this court.
She has had a pretty good path through to the semifinals and still very much the favorite here to win the women's title. We have some emails to go through. Joseph says, Sam in the White Mountains of New Hampshire here. I would never address someone I didn't know with a nickname. They are Mr. or Ms. It's common courtesy and my parents would insist. Quite right. Yeah, we're talking about Carlitos and Carlos, etc. Always good to stay polite.
It is. I'm of the generation. I still refer to people like people's parents as Mr. Or Miss. It's very hard for me to call like adults by their first name. Vishal tweets in and wants to know, why is Świątek wearing white in Paris? Is she already in Wimbledon mode and considers French a mandatory easy win this year? I don't know about that. She did say, I did ask her in her last press conference, Iga, you know, you're into the quarterfinals. You seem pretty chilled out. It's a quarterfinals of a major, though. At what point in your life did it change for you that this became what maybe you might expect? And she said, well, if you were to, she kind of leaned forward and was like, well, look, if this was Wimbledon and I just made a quarterfinal, I would be over the moon. nothing holds real estate in Iga Świątek's head like Wimbledon, it feels like to me. It's a very mental thing for her. But she said, yes, here, you know, I made the round of 16 the first time I played it.
Yeah.
Like there, I know what I can do here. Not expectations. She doesn't say expectations, but she knows what her possibilities are at Roland Garros.
And she's won it twice. And she may very well go on to win a third one. Ornia says, today in Ireland, the state exams start for our 15, 16-year-olds and 17, 18-year-olds. And it got me thinking about these younger school-age players. Do they have school exams? Or do they just have tutors and do the equivalent? Or are some professional from 16 years old? And if they are, do they just stop school and are considered to be full-time workers?
Well, I think that a lot of it depends on the country that they hail from, because in certain countries, it is mandatory that you finish high school. So, you know, you talk about a Coco Gauff. She's been homeschooled for most of her life, but did, obviously, a year ago here, celebrate her graduation from high school, that famous cap and gown photo in front of the Eiffel Tower. So, you know, Iga Świątek finished high school. Most of the players have, but there are going to be players where it isn't necessarily mandatory under their state system, and they might have just dropped out you know, at 16 and started traveling the world and being a touring professional without having to worry about school. I know both tours kind of offer, you know, opportunities for their players to kind of fill that gap. The other thing as well is that at academies, a lot of, you know, tennis academies, they will have a schooling system in place. How rigorous it is, I don't know, but it is there to help, again, players get towards their high school degrees. But yeah, I know the WTA obviously has a university program that helps players get their college degrees, which many players have availed themselves to. But yeah, I think Coco Gauff is debating it at the moment, whether or not she wants to pursue her collegiate degree via correspondence.
She can always do it later.
She can?
You know, she could be a mature student.
Indeed.
Aged 30.
Yeah, she'll be older. I think her career prospects will be A-okay going forward when she decides to hang up her rackets, regardless of her diplomas on the wall.
She's a pretty smart young woman, Coco Gauff. And actually, Ornia's email, I forgot to say it, the title of it, she says, translates roughly to "come on, Gauff," which was Gauff Abu.
Ah, there you go.
Thank you for that. Lindsay, love you all, always making us laugh, teaching us something new, and constantly making me, at least, hungry. Cheers. Yeah, you and me both, Lindsay.
This is why Stefan has to step out and get like at least four lunches, given the conversations he has to listen to all day. I don't know how you're keeping so slim.
Exactly. And Melissa says, my grandfather always taught me to greet people you don't know and managers, etc., as sir or madam, and then Mr. or Mrs. Manners. Mr. or Mrs. Manners matter, to quote Dame Julie Andrews. Well,
yeah.
Quite.
It's different. It's different for everyone. I know that for me, in a lot of Asian countries, you have a lot of honorifics mm-hmm. that you have to be very aware of. You, even if you're meeting somebody for the first time, you're kind of supposed to do this whole calculation in your head of, are you older than me? Are you younger than me? Are you the same age as me? Are you older than my father? Are you younger than my father? Are you, and it all depends. You're a peer of mine, but you are the son of my father's older brother. So I have to refer to you separately than if you were the son who's older than me, who's the son of a younger brother. It's all weird.
Some pretty embarrassing mistakes.
Yes, you can dishonor your entire family if you mess that up. Honestly, like it's pretty dire.
Some people out there would quite like to dishonor their entire family, wouldn't they? Not me, obviously, but some.
Not me, Mom. Not me, Dad. Thanks for listening, though.
Well, we're getting closer to the start of the first men's quarterfinal of the day between Alexander Zverev, the number 22 seed this year, semi-finalist last year, and Tomas Martín Echeverri of Argentina, who's having a cracking year, through to the quarterfinals of a slam for the first time. Zverev, amazingly, through to the quarterfinals here for the fifth time. It's a stat that sort of surprised me. I wasn't thinking of him in that way, but he's clearly, he got to the quarterfinals first time pretty young. Semi-finals last year was close to maybe beating Nadal in the semis. It was a rough match. It was 3 hours before he hurt his ankle. But it's good to see him back playing well and looking very strong. And he'll be favourite against Echeverri, but Echeverri has had some very good wins to get here.
Still hasn't lost a set, am I correct?
That's right.
Echeverri? Yep.
He hasn't lost a set.
Which is kind of crazy. And
only player left in the tournament not to have lost a set on the men's side.
Could you imagine if there's two South Americans, one on each side of the draw with Beatriz Haddad-Maya Echeverri trying to join her, the Argentine? That would be quite something for South America, who have already, regardless of whatever the result is today, or even was the result was earlier with Haddad-Maya, were having an incredible tournament.
Well, let's have a listen to what Tomas Martín Echeverri said. He is his last Argentinian to reach the semis here was Diego Schwartzman 3 years ago. As we said, he's the only man left in the tournament not to have lost a set. And last time, his only previous trip to Roland Garros was a first-round exit last year. So let's hear what he thinks about his form and his chances.
Obviously, you never reached this level so far in the second week. So how difficult is it to prepare for such an opportunity in the quarters?
Yeah, of course. This is my first time here in the second week, you say. For me, I just only to play my game. That's my mindset, of all this week. I have the lucky that I didn't have a lot of time in the court, so that's helped me a lot because I think Shoshito play a lot of hours, and for me, I was good, to play this match. And of course, it's my first time in this Grand Slam event, and it's all new for me.
Can you explain your feelings a little bit and what are your thoughts on Sasha Zverev, because that's your next match?
Yeah, of course. For me, I have a lot of emotion right now. I think I am really, really happy, the best moment of my life. And of course, in the next round, it's going to be tough. Like Sasha Zverev, I think he has a lot of more experience like me. But I feel really good to play against him, I am playing an incredible tennis in all this week. And I have to focus in my game and trying to do the same like I am doing all the day.
Congratulations. Can you explain a little bit the secret of your success this week? What has anything changed or is it just...
Yes, I know the hard work, I changed my team this year, in the start of the year. We work a lot to change a lot of things, try to be more aggressive, try to change some mind, mindset. And that's, I think, the key of this success.
Well, that was Tomas Martín Echeverri, the voice of... Honestly, I thought he changed his voice halfway through that. That last question, I think he leaned closer into the microphone. And it seemed a little bit stronger and deeper, but he's having the time of his life through to the quarterfinals of a slam for the first time, and shouldn't be underestimated by Alexander Zverev.
Yeah, I mean, having a full tank of gas goes a long way when you get to these late stages of a slam. And, you know, we saw that a little bit with Haddad Maia, who obviously isn't short on hours on the court. But Ons Jabeur said, I think she was more physically ready than I was for this match. And so that starts to all catch up with you, starting from the quarterfinal stage, heading into the semifinal stage. And for Echeverry, he can just go out there and he can swing and he can play. And hopefully play freely, knowing that he's playing with house money. I mean, who would have thought? Quarterfinals.
No one. And it was almost two with Francisco Cerúndolo going close to the quarterfinals. But it's his favourite surface, Echeverry. He is clearly at home on it. He'll have to handle the occasion, being on court Philippe Chatrier. That'll be a new experience for him. But, yeah, he certainly has the tennis under his belt, and he's been cruising through the draw, the only man not to drop a set. But Alexander Zverev has the experience here at Roland Garros, fifth quarterfinal here, and feeling pretty good about things after the way he's recovered from the injury that he suffered here last year against Rafael Nadal, and through to the last eight, looking for another place in the semi-finals. And, you know, he's been talking about how he's been feeling about his own game and about this quarterfinal.
Sasha, congratulations into the quarterfinals. Your fans call you the Lion. Is it because you're confident, athletic, some might say handsome, or is it because you sleep all the time? I'd like to ask you, how will the Lion sleep tonight, and what will you be dreaming about?
What is it? Lions sleep 18 hours a day, have what, sex for 4 hours a day, and then eat for two. Doesn't sound too bad for me, to be honest. I don't know how to answer that, to be honest. It's probably a little bit has to do with the haircut, a little bit with screaming. The next question, I don't know what to say. hopefully nothing. That means I'm in a very deep sleep.
Hi, Sasha.
Hello.
I noticed after the match you were practicing on your serve. Could you tell us why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I felt like at 3-0 and in the third set, I got very unfocused. I kind of thought the match is over before having it over, and you know, I was not concentrated anymore, and kind of my serve went missing a little bit. So I just want to get the feeling of having that back, because it's going to be important for after tomorrow, I think.
Hi, Sasha. You've been quite the night bird this past week, but it might change in the next couple of days. Are you ready to make this change? I mean, is it going to change anything for you in terms of preparation and condition?
To be honest, I think, I mean, there's a big chance that I'm going to play night again, because, the other two guys, yes, probably from the entertainment factor and stuff like that, it's more entertaining match than ours, probably. So people want that at night, but they both played during the day the whole week. They both finished quite early today, and we both finished in the middle of the night. So on the semifinals, our semifinals is at night as well. So I don't know if it will change or not, but I'm happy to play at night.
He would have been happy to play at night, but he's playing in the day. Instead is Sasha Zverev. He is up against Tomas Martín Echeverry of Argentina. And Echeverry's already out on court, Philippe Chatrier, and we're about to hear the entrance of Sasha Zverev. So he walks out onto court and acknowledges the crowd with his little mascot that is accompanied by, as they've all the players have been doing all fortnight, which is always a nice touch. As he's carrying two massive bags, Alexander Zverev. One little bag full of little tidbits, the other one full of rackets and shoes and stuff.
I feel like I would love to know when that became a thing. No, back in the day, it was just your racket bag.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, people just started bringing luggage on court. women started having like a big, almost purse. I remember Agnieszka Radwanska almost looked like she had a purse that she would take on court. I know that there is that side satchel that they kind of keep their food and, you know, things that are separate from the racket, the equipment bag. But that definitely changed it at some moment.
For me, it was always, like, as a kid playing tennis, it was really quite fun having one bag trying to fit things in the compartments.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, your mum would have made you lunch and you can't find it and it's shoved down the side and squashed and stuff. But obviously not, we're not a pro level, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's bizarre. It is like a sort of baggage carousel sometimes with all this stuff that comes on court, men and women. I think Zverev, we know, is diabetic.
Correct.
And he was talking the other day about how he injects himself on court during ATP and WTA events. Hasn't been allowed to do that here for some reason. So maybe he has that stuff in one bag. I think you're right. Most of the time, it's little bits of food. Novak drags out the dates.
Extra T-shirts, yeah. Clothes. I think it's one thing to kind of separate it and say, this is my equipment bag. This has got my my rackets, effectively, and maybe wristbands and things like that. But the stuff that you repack all the time, it might be in that little duffel.
Yeah. People used to walk on court just with their rackets and a towel.
Same condition your previous match.
Well, a drink they'd get from the clocks are on the board side.
And also in front of you.
It's just I love it. That aspect of tennis.
And orange, please.
Is that Alison Hughes?
Any questions, gentlemen? No. Okay. So. Ball or racket?
Rackets.
So Echeverri making the choice. As the little ball girl does the coin toss.
You'll receive. Okay, perfect. Photo. Yeah.
Photo souvenir pour Grégoire et Victoria.
Oh, nice. So the names of the mascots.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you.
They get a little round of applause, which is very nice.
Very adorable little
yeah.
Lad and lady.
It's such a nice moment. I think they'll remember it forever. Although, what's her name? Victoria seems to have got lost. What's she doing?
She thought she could sit on the bench and watch the match, which actually.
Oh, yeah,
why not?
Probably get a bit bored after a couple of hours. There's a lot to watch, and this one could be long. I mean, it's going to be very interesting between Zverev and Echeverri. They've never played before, so this is their first chance to really get a feel of what it's like to take each other on in match situations. I don't know if they've practiced together. I don't think so. Certainly haven't heard that, but you never know. But it's going to be fascinating to see how this match is handled by both players. Zverev making his eighth straight Roland Garros appearance in the main draw, and has been in the semi-finals each of the last 2 years. And as I said, this is his fifth Roland Garros quarter-final in 6 years. And it's funny to think, isn't it, when he first sort of broke through to the top level, he had those good runs in Masters, thousands, but he could never get past quarter-finals in a slam, and he was really struggling. But he found a way.
Took a little bit of time. I believe he was struggling to get a top 10 win at a slam for a very long time. But, you know, those are always, sometimes we make more of a big deal about those sort of stats because they're just fun and easy little stat nuggets that are easy to roll out and tell a story with. And whether or not that sits in the head of the player, it's always hard to know. But once he was able to get past that, he's been perfectly fine.
And he's done well to seemingly get the ankle injury that he suffered here last year against Rafael Nadal in the semifinals out of his head. There's always a huge, especially with a bad injury, a big fear factor when you come back. You don't know how it's going to respond to the rigors of a match situation. And, you know, it does take a while. And once he gets through that, then you can start playing freely. That can play on your mind quite a lot.
Yeah, you realize with these players how much scar tissue they have in their minds with respect to those injuries. I mean, they're still to this day, an injury might have happened 8, 9, 10 years ago in a completely different phase of a player's career, and they will still say, yeah, I'm always a little nervous in Rome. You know, because that's where I busted my ankle all those years ago, and, you know, to Miami or little different things like that. So it's tough, and it'll take some time to kind of get over that. And you never know when it flares up when you're lunging for a ball, the exact same ball that maybe your body almost remembers.
Exactly, you've got to get through those moments. And as we said, he tore three ligaments in his right ankle last year against Nadal. Only really returned in January of this year. But he is looking like he's pretty much back to his best as he tries to claim his place in the semi-finals.
Victoria Genève en 2019,
introducing the players, and Thomas Martin Echeverri, as we said, first quarterfinal appearance at a Grand Slam event. He beat Jack Draper in the first round, who retired injured. Beat Alex de Minaur in the second round, Borna Coric in the third, and Yoshihito Nishioka, all without the loss of a set, which is pretty impressive. And he's looking to become the first unseeded player to reach the semi-final since Marco Cecchinato in 2018.
Marco Cecchinato,
who was the number 72 at the time and who beat Novak Djokovic in a big surprise in the quarterfinals and got to the semis. He's still playing. Cecchinato back around again. He is a former top junior, Echeverri.
Alexander Zverev.
He lost to Alex de Minaur in the juniors when he played him in 2016. And a little bit of revenge at the seniors this year. He's up to 31 in the live rankings at the moment. That's up 18 places.